This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome into Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Albari. Very excited to have back Calvin Wetzel. We have five games on Wednesday, and we're recording in the middle of one of the games on Tuesday as well. We're at halftime of the Storm and the Mystics game, so unfortunately we've seen just another injury. What is going on in Washington? I want no part of it because, as Calvin knows, I'm about 1 year post-op on my own ankle issues. I've had three surgeries of my own, and somehow every ankle on this team is going down. Natasha Clouds had issues, Elena Deladon, and now we're seeing Ariel Atkins down with an ankle injury. What is going on?
I don't know. Whatever's in the water over there is the same thing as whatever's in the water in LA with the Sparks, because those two teams have been ravaged. And the Sparks have somehow been able to tread water. The Mystics don't really have a great bench. Tiana Hawkins stepped up, but I feel bad for him. I did hit the Storm live, but
yeah. Did you see Kurt Miller's tweet?
I did.
Monday. I want to see if I can pull it up here, but that just reminded me. And it was so sad to see, because I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, and like, no hate to Kurt Miller, but it seems like the teams, he says, so here it is. While many of my teams have endured injuries, I have never experienced anything like this. 19 games into the season, we have now had players miss 57 games with injuries and illnesses. If you included two season-ending players, we have 95 games missed by players. And he put hashtag needs Sage. So maybe he needs Kyrie to go over there and just work some magic for them. But it's really sad. And this is saying something coming from Kurt Miller, who, again, has just every year seemed to have a major injury happen to his team, whether it's Jasmine Thomas with the Sun or Jonquil Jones for a year. It's really sad to see. So the All-Star break could not be coming at a better time, basically, is where we're at. Everybody needs a break. We know Elena Deladon's out at least 2 weeks, so probably not going to see her play in the All-Star game. But what are you excited to see in the All-Star game? I saw that our own Miles Ehrlich talked about who we're going to see in the skills contest, and I'm very excited to see Chelsea Gray paired up with Kelsey Plum.
Yeah, well, if I understand it correctly from what I just saw, it's actually going to be teammates going against each other. I might be misunderstanding this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw an alert that said that, which is really cool. Okay. I think that's a fun format. That's something
but
new.
But honestly, even better.
Yeah, looking forward to that little teammate rivalry. Always gets things spicy. So, and that's what it's all about, like All-Star weekend. Just have fun. Not too serious. So definitely looking forward to that. And looking forward to seeing someone other than Allie Quigley. Not because I love Allie Quigley, but seeing a fresh face win the three-point contest. You know, it's the Allie Quigley Invitational for the last, 5 years or whatever. So it'll be fun to see someone else.
Am I correct in saying that she won every year that she competed?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that almost makes me angry, though, if I was another player, because it's like, you can only win if Allie Quigley's not shooting. So
right,
she's not playing this year.
Which is going to be the case this year.
Yeah. So anybody that you would like to see in that contest or think could win it?
Do we know who's in it yet?
No, I don't think we do. I know that Miles said that he had mentioned that definitely someone from the Liberty. He hasn't announced who yet. They haven't announced who yet. Obviously, I'm expecting to see Arike in there. She's usually in the mix. Who else do you think?
Yeah, well, I have, I talked to Miles, but Miles has not told me this. This isn't some inside info leak. I'm just guessing here. With the Liberty, I would love to see Marine Johannes, but I don't know if she'll be there because she's not in the All-Star game. So it might end up being Sabrina because she's in the game anyway. I would also, another player I'd love to see that we're not going to see because she's injured is Lexi Brown. She would be so fun. We talked about Sparks injuries already, but if she were healthy, she was having a phenomenal shooting year. Ryan Howard is now in the All-Star game as a replacement to Elena Deladon. So I think in a three-point contest, she would be really fun as well if she's in it.
I wonder if Jewel will be in it because she's been in it before.
She has, she is on a tear this year, so I would not be surprised to see her in it. She would be really fun as well. You know what I would love to see, though, that's obviously not going to happen, but just as a hypothetical down the road, a three-point contest for like non-three-point shooters. Let's put like the worst three-point shooters at the All-Star game.
Oh, I thought you meant like people like Jonquil Jones who shouldn't be good three-point shooters but are.
No. People who like actually aren't good. People who like don't take threes. Like
the lowest percentages in the league.
Yeah, right. It would be funny. It would like, I don't know, maybe it would not be entertaining because there'd be so many bricks, but I think it would be hilarious. And to put just like all the centers who aren't Jonquil Joneses of the world who don't shoot, have them in a three-point contest. Why not?
Okay, well, we'll pitch it. We'll pitch it definitely. But one thing about All-Star Weekend is there's been some hiccups in years past. I know that there have been people who've gone to these things. I think Miles was at, was it last year or the year before, where nobody could even watch the skills contest? Like, the media was in there, but the fans weren't able to be inside and watching it. So that was a hiccup.
Yeah, I was at that one.
Oh, okay.
I got in somehow, but they didn't allow fans. They didn't allow the public in,
I got in
which
somehow.
was. It just a complete. I mean, someone dropped the ball because I forget what the deal was. There was some other event, some conference in Wintrust Arena, where the Sky play. So it was like this gym across the street that they had the skills contest and the 3-point contest
Like,
in, and
what?
they just like didn't have seating for enough people, but because they didn't plan this enough ahead of time with this conference or whatever it was. So Vegas hosted it. I forget if it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever. Maybe it was before COVID. It was pretty recently though, and I want to say, if I remember correctly, that that one went a lot better, which was a low bar. But I think Vegas knows what they're doing, so I think this one will be a little bit better than the one in Chicago.
Yeah, well, and I didn't want to go down a negative path with it, but I just thought it would be funny to mention because the other headline-making thing from years past was the MVP trophy, which Kelsey Plum got, that was ridiculously tiny. Look it up if you missed it. Do you think the trophy will be bigger this year?
Has to be. It has to be. I mean, they caught too much heat for that. I don't know how it can't be.
It was hilariously small. It was like, I almost actually hope they make it even smaller. Wouldn't it be funny if every year it got a little bit smaller and it was just this tiny little trophy?
Something that
Anyways,
fits in your pocket. Why not?
we're going over on the size. We'll bet over on the size for the trophy
There
this year.
you go. There you
But
go.
we have 5 games to get to. So Wednesday, July 12th, 5 games, and 3 of them are early if you're on the Pacific, but definitely on the earlier side in general. 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern for these first two: the Connecticut Sun at the Chicago Sky, and the New York Liberty at the Indiana Fever. You said that you thought some of the lines that have hung, and again, we're doing this when these lines have just come out, so they'll probably have shifted at some point here, but we'll talk through that. The Sun -2.5 here on the road at the Sky. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, like you said, we hopped on before and I looked at these lines and I thought a lot of them just look off. And it's also always possible that I'm just off, but like that I look at this one and I don't understand why the Sun are only 2.5-point favorites. I understand it's on the road. The Sky are a respectable team and they're not playing the Mercury or anything like that. But the Sun have actually looked pretty good, even without Breonna Jones, I think. And there's a clear gap here between like the top four and really the top three, if you with the who the Mystics are playing right now because all those injuries, and the rest of the league. And the Sun are part of that top tier who just should be favored by more than this over basically anyone, whether it's on the road or at home. And I also don't understand this total being in the 150s. The Sun have been a faster team without Breonna Jones, obviously going smaller, putting Beck
Five
Allen in the
over
starting
straight.
lineup, 5 straight overs. Why isn't this in the 160s? It's 159 right now. This is a little bit baffling to me. So I would definitely take the Sun and the over on this line. If we had team totals already, I think the Sun team total over would be great. And look at what the Sky allowed to the Dream the last couple games. Obviously, the Dream are the fastest paced team in the league, but it's not like the Sky defense is necessarily clicking on all cylinders right now. So this
And it
feels like a
was
great
early in
spot.
the season, so that was really weird to see them just completely fall off. But I do think that we talked about at the start how the Sky were sort of overperforming expectations and doing the best they could with what they had, but that the gas was basically going to run out eventually. It seems like that's happened. Plus, losing your head coach certainly doesn't help, especially midseason for whatever reason that was. But I agree with you. I think the Sun should be favored by more here. What would you bet this number up to? Because I expect it will move from 2.5.
Yeah, I think for the spread, I would probably take the Sun up to 5, maybe 5.5.
I was going to say 4.5.
And yep, and then totals wise, I'd probably take it up to about 160, 1.5 or 162.
Same. I was going to say 162.5. Sure. Yeah, 5 overs for the Sun. I don't understand that total at all.
Yeah, it's like they haven't been watching, which I'm sure they haven't because the sportsbooks aren't watching WNBA. They're just going off of their model, but the Sun are playing, like, I don't want to say five guards. I don't know if you call DeWanna Bonner and Alyssa Thomas guards, but it's 5 players who can handle and run and push the pace right now with Breonna Jones off the court, and they're just going over.
More of a small ball. Yeah, I mean, small relative. They're still pretty tall, but
It's a
I'd
different
like to
brand,
see
though.
two last 5 games, just curious. Sun are third in pace in their last 5 games. I mean, yeah, I like the over here. I like the Sun at -2.5. Like you said, I could get it up to 4.5. That's interesting to me. And I hope that the Sky can figure something out on the other side of the break, but I don't know what that's going to look like. I think, unfortunately, they may start to look like that rebuild team that we were all expecting and that James Wade insisted was not the case, but he's gone. He's gone. So your opinion, your words are mute. New York Liberty at the Indiana Fever, another early game, at least for me, 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern. Do you think that will factor in here at all, playing a little bit earlier in the day?
You know, we always have this conversation, you know, either on the show or just with people we text and things like that about these camp day games, these weekday afternoon or morning games. And it always feels like there are some trends, but then I start to look into the numbers and I'm not actually sure that there are. So I'm not probably going to play it any differently than I would anyway. I'm not positive that there's not a trend that I just haven't found yet, but I would probably look to play it about the same way. This is the one line, the spread on this game, where it does feel pretty close, I think. Nelissa Smith just announced is out for about a couple weeks, which is a big bummer for the Fever, who've already kind of been sliding a little bit. So they'll be a little bit thinner in the front court. They'll have obviously Leah Boston still, but she'll probably see a lot more defensive attention from Jonquel Jones and Brianna Stewart and whoever else. So maybe if I had to pick a side, lean Liberty, but I would probably stay away from this spread where it is. 8.5 feels pretty good on the road.
Yeah, on the road, to your point as well. Definitely important to note here, even though I don't think that the Indiana Fever have necessarily played incredibly well at home. I think this game, again, like you said, the lines are pretty close to what I would expect here. And as far as playing earlier in the day, and this is probably anecdotal more than anything, feel like these games have tended to go over. And because the Fever are going to be missing Nelissa, maybe they're a little bit out of sorts, so we do see something closer to an over. But then that means that the Fever have to still be delivering on the points, which is going to be hard with Nelissa out. So maybe is there an Aaliyah Boston play here, perhaps?
You know, it's tough because the question is, with her points prop, like, does she get more usage because Nelissa Smith's out of the lineup? And or does she see more defensive attention and more doubles? And the answer is probably both. So I'll have to see what the number is. It'll probably be mid-teens, but
I think it was 15 and a half the last game.
And, you know, there's all this narrative about Leah Boston not getting touches, which has been true some games, obviously. They'll probably have to get her some touches if they want to compete in this game without Nelissa Smith. I don't know. It's tough. I would have to look into the more numbers to kind of see what her splits are, like, on-off with Nelissa Smith on the court and off the court. But I will say I agree with you on the over. It does feel like anecdotally, because I used to always think that when you play early in the morning, you're going to be tired, you're going to be slow. These games go under, and I bet that, and I kept losing those. So anecdotally, it does feel like overs. But I would have this over anyway, even no matter what time of day it was. So I think this hits 170. So 167 and a half, I would definitely take an over.
Yeah, I don't like to bet overs. I don't love this one. I'm actually on one for the Mystics and the Storm game, so I hope that hits. But you'll see that I like to bet overs when the totals are like in the 150s, if I can. But we have a 167.5 here. I definitely like that one. I might end up betting it, but I'm not like in love with this. And the other thing to consider here, and again, we have three more games to get into, but as a little side note here, is there anything to this is the last day of games before the All-Star break and what that looks like motivation-wise or mentally for these players?
Yeah, that's another one where I don't know if there's any trends or not, but our friend of the show, Daniel Mattia, kind of looked into it a little bit. He didn't find any trends one way or the other. It's another one where, you know, there may be something that we've missed, but it might also depend on if you're going to the All-Star game or not. If you're a player that's hopping on a plane the next day for Vegas, maybe you're thinking about that.
Vacation brain.
If you're a player who's just going to be chilling at home, you know, maybe it's different. Who knows? So it's hard to really read into it. I'll probably not be taking that into account too much either. But who knows? If we see trends, I mean, we're going to get some data with 10 teams playing. Then maybe we'll have something good to use for next year.
Yeah, I think that you're right. We probably haven't seen a trend, and this might just be something that lends itself more to the men's league. We see this a little bit closer for the NBA season. But one team that might be affected by this, like you said, maybe players who are excited to go to Vegas or who are in the All-Star game, perhaps it's the Aces, who are in a back-to-back spot here. That's the last game, so we're going in chronological order. But maybe when we get to that game, we can kind of dive into that more. The Dallas Wings are at the Minnesota Lynx. This is another early game. This one will be 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And the Wings are only -2.5, which is what I guessed. I thought this total would be a bit lower. I had this at 165.5. I'm seeing 169.5, which I agree with. It's not shocking to me. Tier McCowan's return to the wings has certainly seemed to boost them lately. They're 5-3 since her return. She shot really well in their win over the Aces, the Wings coming off of that win a little bit. And the Lynx, not playing a ton of defense, but starting to put something together where they've actually been able to somewhat cover these spreads. Wings on the road, -2.5. Are we going with the road Wings?
Yeah, well, road dog Dallas is one of my favorite teams, as I always talk about on this show.
This is road favorite.
This is road favorite Dallas, which is a little bit different. I actually thought that we might get road dog Dallas because I thought maybe the Lynx, the way that they've been playing, that Aces game notwithstanding, because when you play the Aces, you just kind of always get blasted. It almost doesn't even count. But before that game, the Lynx have been playing great basketball, got back up to 500. And obviously they're home, so give them a few points there. I almost would have had the Lynx maybe favored by just slightly, maybe by 1 or 1.5. But at the same time, if that happens, then you have Road Dog Dallas, who's going to cover that spread because it's Road Dog Dallas. So maybe you move that more towards a pick 'em. I don't know, though. 2.5, I lean the Lynx here at plus money or a plus spread. And I just think that these two teams are a little bit more even than this would imply. And I just think that home court is going to push the Lynx over the top.
Yeah. I mean, they covered 5 of their last 6, the Lynx have. A lot of those were at home. And these teams haven't played since May 30th, so a lot has changed since then. And in that game, the Wings did win by 5, but they did not cover. I think it was by the hook, which I'm now remembering. I think this was back when I was in New York. Like, was this the 5.5 Wings game where we lost by the hook? And then there was like a week where the Wings killed us by the hook, not once but twice. So now I'm having flashbacks, PTSD.
I think that was this week. Yeah, once against the Storm and once in that game, if I remember correctly. You're right.
Never forget. always learning. But yeah, I agree with you. The Lynx have been doing a really stellar bang up job lately, even as favorites, and they're home dogs here. We love home dogs so far this season. Okay. Sorry. Someone's trying to FaceTime me. I've never been called on FaceTime like that because my phone's
Danielle's
on silent.
Getting calls on the podcast. Someone's trying to call. It's like a radio show. Someone's trying to call in and give their thoughts.
Yeah, they heard what we were saying.
Letting us know what we're wrong about.
Yeah, that shows you how infrequently I get FaceTimes. Oh, it was through my laptop. That's what it was. All right, we figured it out. We always figure things out on this show. And when we talk about the Wings here, I thought they would be favored, but I agree with you that maybe there is a little bit of hype. Or not necessarily hype. They've been doing a solid job, and they matched up well with the Aces. But that Aces win, right? They beat the Aces, and maybe the books are a little high on the Wings for that reason. And I agree. I would like them better in this spot if I was getting some points. I would totally bet this live. If I could get Wings plus some points live, I would be interested in that. But otherwise, I think home dog Lynx maybe. Do you think it'll move at all where we'll get like something like a 3.5?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if people are looking at, like you said, that Aces win really sort of puts you on the map and gets people to take notice. And not only books maybe overreacting to that, but also possibly if you see kind of the public bettors overreact to that, then you could see it move. I probably wouldn't necessarily count on it, but I do think, yeah, if the Wings get down live, you know, I mean, at that point, it's live Road Dog Dallas, right? It's still Road Dog Dallas. We saw the Wings get down the other day against the Fever, also on the road. I want to say 5, 6, 7 points, came back, escaped, barely won the game. I live bet them at -1.5, and they won by 1 because they missed 2 free throws at the end. So got hooked on that one, too, when we're talking about getting hooked on Wings bets. But they did come back and win after digging themselves a little bit of a hole, and I could see that happening again.
Dallas, 3-7 ATS away this year, which is interesting. 6-7 as a favorite against the spread. So if they were getting points, I'd be into it. They're so inconsistent. I can't back them in this spot. So I think I lean Lynx here. And as far as the total over, I think I go over with this. We're so high up at 169.5. I'd be happier at like 167.5, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to lean under on this. I think that you said your guess was in the mid 160s, right? Before lines came out.
Yeah, 165.5, and we got 169.5. So I was surprised to see that. But again, I don't think we're getting a ton of defense out of either of these teams, but especially the Lynx. Dallas's offense seems to be humming a lot better. This is still a really high total. I hate betting overs. I can't do it. Seattle is, I have to check on the score now. Seattle is also playing in a back-to-back. They're losing brutally to the Mystics as we're recording right now, which is unfortunate, and have to play this back-to-back. And again, leading into the All-Star game, so maybe there's a little bit of just get us to the finish line at this point, or the halfway point, rather.
You have
and
the score?
Storm, yeah, right now it's almost the end of the third quarter, 74-54, down 20.
Wow, Seattle.
So we did lean the Storm way this way, but they are live and die by Jewel Lloyd, pretty much.
The Mystics somehow are continuing to split. I mean, the same thing happened the other day. As soon as Elena Deladon went out, they had a massive third quarter out of the locker room, couldn't miss a shot. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the Mystics, but
well,
credit
the game
to them.
Plan just... The game plan completely changes with all these Mystics starters out, right? It was Natasha Cloud for a moment. Shakira's been out for a while. Now Elena Deladon. And we're not saying that Elena Deladon doesn't contribute to points on this team, but it seems to clog up the offense a little bit, where now when she's out, other teams playing defense, well, who do we guard? And you can see that it's pretty evenly spread throughout this Mystics team. I can see Shatori Walker-Kimbrough already 14 points. Like, what? In 15 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, apparently there's some Ewing theory going on, too, because the Mystics opening up that leads like this, both I mean, they did it against the Sun and then ended up losing the fourth quarter, so maybe not that our listeners are going to be listening right now because it's recorded, but maybe the right. Storm plus 20 something right now is the way to go still. I don't know, but
okay.
So
let me flip that and apply it to tomorrow. The Storm are playing in a back-to-back on the road at Atlanta. Where would you want to look for this? We don't have a number for this obviously yet, but is there a way that you would bet this one or want to bet this one live if they fall behind to the Dream tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I think they will, because the Dream are cooking right now. The Dream, obviously,
spoiler alert,
at home, they've been... the Dream have won three straight games outright as underdogs. They're like only one and a half, 2-point underdogs.
Those money lines
have been
hitting.
Still underdogs. The books continue to undervalue them, and the Dream are one of those teams that's inconsistent and makes you tear your hair out. But the last 2 weeks or so, they've actually been consistently good, which has been fun. I've been betting them the whole time to make up for all the Wings hook losses. I think the Dream should be favored by double digits in this one, especially considering the Storm back-to-back and the Storm have to travel, too. They're going to get chartered. The WNBA did that for the first time this year. When you get a back-to-back, you get a charter flight, so that's going to help. Obviously, Washington, Atlanta, two East Coast teams, not a far trip, but you are traveling on a back-to-back, so you still have to move at least a point for that. If the Dream are single digits, I think I got to hit them in this game.
Yeah, if we get single digits, I could be in on that as well. And it's to your point, the Dreamers very much the team in the league for me that are a bob and weave team. Like, you have to know when to play them and when to fade them, because they go through these ups and downs throughout the season.
You gotta know when to hold them and when to fold them, Danielle.
Yeah, like we talk about this in betting, is like, are we catching this team in a good spot? Or I think you are right now. I think that the books are still low on them because of some past performances we've seen, but I think they've been back on that upswing, going the right direction. You want to catch it before they go back the other direction, which I think could still happen this season, unfortunately, because I'm going to need some defense. I'm going to need some semblance. Seattle on a back-to-back, though, I assume we're going to get a low total for this game, even though it's against the Dream. A lower total than we would get, because they're expecting Seattle to be a little bit
lower. Lower being the key word, because any Atlanta Dream total probably isn't going to be low, but...
Yeah. I can see Atlanta wanting to end this with an exclamation point and score a bunch. If Seattle can contribute a little bit.
I could see that too. Even with a back-to-back, if we get in the 160s, I know you hate this. This is a theme. I will probably take an over, because I do still think this hits the 170s. Just because, like you said, the Dream, fastest-paced team in the league. They don't play defense.
Does it discourage you if I tell you the Storm have only scored 54 points?
Yes.
Through three quarters against the Mystics?
It does. And, you know, I'll have to run some numbers again after this game, because it could change a lot based on how the Storm are performing right now. But the Dream offense is absolutely rolling, and I don't think that's going to slow down. They could get there by themselves.
It seems like a very overy Wednesday is what we're predicting. Seems like we're leaning that way.
Let's go into the break with points on points on points.
Yeah. All right. Can I get a little defense? Maybe I'll get it from the Aces. That's the last game we're going to look at.
I'm not saying I like it as a fan, because I'm with you as a fan. If you cast betting aside, I love some good defense. Casual fans, they're all about the points. Give me some good defense. But if I bet the over, I'm trying to win my bet too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I enjoy like a good block or a steal as much as I enjoy a good three-pointer.
Jewel Lloyd's block on Sabrina the other day, by the way. One of my favorite blocks ever. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Jumped like 6 feet above her own head.
Yes.
Incredible. The Aces are also in a back-to-back. They are playing later on Tuesday night, so before we're recording, so we don't have a line for their game on Wednesday yet. But Las Vegas Aces at the Los Angeles Sparks, who, in case you missed the top of the podcast, just ravaged with injuries this entire season. Their own head coach, Kurt Miller, just at a loss because he can't believe how badly this has gone from an injury standpoint, from a non-COVID illness standpoint for the Sparks. And yet, they're at home, last game before the All-Star break. The Aces are on a back-to-back. I'm not saying they can beat the Aces, but I'll be interested to see what this line ends up being. I have to imagine the Aces are still going to be favored by 9.5, but probably not double digits. What do you think?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean,
because the Sparks are so depleted.
Yeah, right. With all those injuries and we looked at the Aces are one of the few teams that's already played a back-to-back this season. There's been three of them before tonight and tomorrow.
Tough schedule.
The Aces had one in May, and they won both games by 20-plus. So
yeah,
I think they have the personnel to still do it. And Candace Parker, obviously, I have to keep an eye on that because she could move the line a little bit. But I would be pretty surprised if she plays at this point. What's the point in rushing the second oldest player in the league back for one game right before the All-Star break when you can give her another week off? So I would assume she doesn't play unless, you know, the injury report came out. Otherwise, I would probably take the Aces in single digits, though. If we got it, I would still bet them. Maybe look more at a first half, though, because you could see them coasting in the fourth quarter if they get up.
Yeah.
But I do think they should probably be favored more like, again, depends on how tonight's
double
game
digits.
Goes, obviously, too. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this before the Aces played their previous game. But yeah, maybe 12, maybe 12 and a half, 13.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Double digits, back to back. On the road.
On the road.
Last game before All-Star break, and we're saying, maybe they'll be favored by double digits. That's how good they are.
How good they are.
I also wonder if we're going to see a lower total, because the lowest total we've seen for an Aces game this year was 164.5, and that was more due to the fact they were playing the Mercury, I think, than anything else. Which, not that the Mercury played defense, but I think that was more of a offensive struggle situation. So I wonder if we'll get something like 166.5, because we usually get 67, 68, or into the 170s for the Aces games.
Yeah, I would probably have this somewhere in that range, 167 or so. So, which is pretty low by Aces standards, because you're usually seeing in the 170s, and maybe against a slower paced team, you're getting in the upper 160s. So, I can't take an over on this if it is in the upper 160s. But if we get down in the mid 160s, that's where I would start looking over.
Yeah, I could possibly. Honestly, like, again, it sounds like we've been saying over, over, over to all these games, and that makes me nervous because, again, we don't necessarily think there's any correlation with this. We're heading into All-Star break, but I do think there's a little bit of, like, vacation on the brain, or not vacation, but break, All-Star break on the brain, and how that may factor in here. So if we see these big numbers, it makes me a little tentative to bet them, especially these overs. But maybe we just see a day of overs. Maybe they're just like, no defense, get me to the weekend.
It's possible. It's also like we have lines for the first three games. Like we said, we don't have this one yet. So it's possible this one opens in the 170s, at which point I might take an under.
Under.
Like we said, we think this should be in the 160s. So you got to play the line. I do also think Minnesota-Dallas under. So I think, like I said, that one's scary. But at 169, what is it, 169.5, you know, I would probably still have that one going under as well. So I know you're against me on that one, but I think we probably could still see an under or two tomorrow, depending on the lines. But if you had to
talk me into it, I made my line lower on that. I should listen to myself, right?
You should. You had your line lower. Yeah. Trust yourself. Bet on yourself.
Okay. Believe in yourself. All right, Calvin. That's it. We have five games. Which bet do you like the best of the five, or which game do you like best in these spots?
From a betting perspective.
Yeah, I think it's that Sun Sky game.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're on the same page there. I was about to say Sun minus 2.5. If I had to pick right now without lines for the last two games, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. Before we go, win of the week. Gotta know your win of the week.
Win of the week. Oh, how did I not? I always plan something coming in the week. Can you go first? I need to think about it.
Yeah, I'll go first. But I also want to preface this with, I made this joke when Danny Barlavi was on the show the day before, that I think it's funny when I ask people for win of the week and it takes them a really long time to come up with something nice that happens like a win. They're like, what's one single positive thing that happened to me today? And I'm just going to go with the simplest one that happened to me just literally today. I've been getting tacos from the same place. Like, I'm a binge eater. I'll eat the exact same thing until I'm sick of it. And it's funny because my friends will be like, oh, you got a week left on that one, then you're going to move on. But I've been getting it from the same place and I'm going too much. And I went in today and they gave me a free taco. I got home, I opened it up. They had given me a free taco. And
let's
I was
go.
like,
well, you got to shout them out. What's their name in case anyone?
Loki. It's called Loki.
There you go.
So they have, if you're in Los Angeles,
area.
Yeah, they're in Culver City in Los Angeles and Playa Vista, but just a really good simple taco. And I was just like, shout out. Like they, it's gotten to the point where they recognize me when I go in, which is a nightmare situation for me. But yeah, too many tacos and got an extra one for free today. That's a win. That's just nice.
Free taco. You know, that's a huge win.
On a Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. Let's go, Danielle. You know what I love about that is that I feel like usually I'm the one coming in here with like a simple win. Like I had a good meal the other day. And you're the one that comes in here is like, I went to Paris or something cool. And
I've
now
never been
you
to
just
Paris.
Have a simple, but you know,
I am going to, I'm going to All-Star this weekend as well for work.
She
so
is
that's
going to
pretty cool.
There you go. That's going to be, yeah. That's going to be your big win. We're going to get back to
Future
Danielle.
Win.
Big travel wins next week.
Oh, geez. Calvin, what is your win of the week? You have to have one.
You've been doing big things lately. I can always say it's always a win to every time I'm on any type of podcast, get to talk about this with you, with CBS, whoever it is. But I feel like I use that one a lot. So I'm trying to think of something new and creative. I'm trying to think of a good meal that I had recently. Went out to eat with my mom the other day. That was fun. I love my mom.
Nice.
We tried a new restaurant.
She lived nearby?
She does live nearby. I feel like I already used that one too, going out to eat at a new restaurant. But this was a different new restaurant, so it's
what
it's
else is there
different.
In life? It's food and travel, right?
Food and travel. That's,
hobbies,
and basketball.
Sports.
Those are the three. That's the big three: food, travel, and basketball.
I think every
win that we both had has revolved around one of those three things.
I'm definitely a person who loves food. There's people who don't care for food. I don't know them. I don't get them. I feel like Kobe when I say that. Like I don't understand people who don't work hard. Don't understand people who don't like food.
Yeah.
The other win that I'll say to wrap it up for both of us is Jim Turvey. We have such a good friend in Jim Turvey, and he shouted us out. Listens to our podcast and was really kind about it. So just having Jim Turvey in our circle of friends, I think is a wonderful one too. So shout out Jim. Make sure you follow him. Follow Calvin on Twitter at CWetzel31. Follow Beth the W Show. And we'll be back after the All-Star break. Are you ready? Are you ready for the All-Star weekend, Calvin?
I'm so ready. I'm so pumped. I'm ready for both because it's going to be fun and to kind of like chill out a little bit. And not have five games in one day. And afterwards, I'll probably be ready to have five games in one day again. You know how it is.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. Thanks for listening.